WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Dog Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. This is a special sports presentation on the Beaver Radio Network. It's time to huddle. The coaches huddle at the tavern on South Shore. Every Wednesday, starting at 6, the coaches huddle on the Beaver Radio Network.
Chasing it down. Nice speed there by Claudia Verkirke, the senior captain. Picked up there by Bemidji Stanish on the goal. Oh, right out in front, Lindsay Featherstone, the veteran.
The coaches huddle with Brian Schultz, Brian Bissonette, and Kelly Schultz.
This year out of Woodbury, Minnesota, puts in her first goal of the season. The Beavers go up 1-0 here.
Stop by for a cold beer and the best wings in town. And we might just pick up your tab. Your home for the Beavers for 23 years. The Beaver Radio Network is WMIS-FM 92.1, The River.
Good evening and welcome to the Tavern for the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. Kel, I have a job for you this weekend.
I need some new highlights for the Open there.
I want about 15 goal highlights to pick from for next time.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be really nice. I think Coach over here would like that too.
Jim Scanlon with us. The Beaver women's hockey team opens their season Friday. I am not going to lie to you, Jim. September 23rd just seems ridiculously early. But it feels a little more like hockey weather today. Your players have been on campus already for a month, so is it time?
Absolutely. They're ready. And this never gets old. This, when you get to this point, the excitement, the anticipation. I think if you're not excited and a little bit nervous, then it's probably time to hang it up. So it's a good feeling. Looking forward to it.
What are the differences in emotions of week one, player versus coach? If you can go back to your playing days and to now.
Well, the players are just so excited that to get to this point. They know there's a game in 2 days. You know, you can just feel it in practice. And it's their excitement that gets you excited, because you can feel it. You can just, the way they're going about it. I asked John how they were in the weight room today. He said outstanding, just focused, really had a good workout. So you just, you know, they get, again, it's been a month of just banging heads against each other, and they've been competing hard. That was one thing we asked them, to bring energy every day and compete every day, and they've gotten after it. We've done a lot of battle drills, and we had one yesterday. It was just a 2-on-2 in a really tight area, and they were getting after it. I thought we might have to step in and break a couple of them up just the way they were playing. So they're ready to face off against somebody else.
Yeah, I think that's a telltale sign.
Well, Jim, you've been doing it a long time, both from a playing and coaching perspective. But the one thing that changes every year, there's change. I mean, there's always a change, whether it's a coaching change, maybe some of your assistants or players obviously are changing all the time. So what I guess kind of changes on the roster are you seeing this year?
Yeah, we're down in terms of our overall numbers. We carried 28 last year, which was the most we've ever had. We had the four super seniors in a real big freshman class. So we actually brought in four freshmen, and we added one transfer from a young lady from Warroad, Minnesota. She played out at Franklin Pierce. But Genevieve Hendrickson, she was an outstanding player throughout her high school career, and it wasn't the right fit for her out at Franklin Pierce, and she entered the portal. We had Maya Nugent decided to not come back, so we had one spot available, and she was. I checked with some of my current players that I knew I'd played with and against her, and they just said she would absolutely fit in with our culture. She said she's just a wonderful person, and to us that was the most important thing, just making sure she was the right kind of person in the locker room, and she's a good hockey player. So, but the four freshmen, we have three forwards and a goalie, and the forwards have been really, really good. Probably the biggest surprise in camp has been Rayleigh Carney from Wasilla, Alaska. She's just jumped in and just has looked right at home. She brings a lot of speed. She can move the puck. She's scored a lot of goals in the whether it's a scrimmage or just small area games, she's had a, that's one thing she's done very consistently is put the puck in the net. So just excited to see her play on Friday night. And then her two line mates will also be freshmen. Maya Hedricks, a big power forward, played for Etobicoke in the Toronto area, which is a really, really good junior program. And she brings size and speed and strength. She's one of those players that's not afraid to go to the dirty areas. She's going to score goals, and they're not going to be cute. She's just going to be because she's in front of the net and creating havoc. And Michaela Zilich was the two-time player, high school player of the year in Wisconsin, and just a very talented player. Again, brings size and speed. So all three of them are in that 5'8", 5'9", range. So they're a bigger group, and we're going to play them and see how they do.
He also got a freshman goaltender, Madison Fosher, out of Amherstburg, Ontario. How is she going to fit
in
the mold?
It's in the Windsor area, yeah. So, good. She's looked good. She's, you know, it's always a probably the one position where the biggest adjustment just because of the speed and the how good the shooters are. So, but she's just gotten better and better as camp's gone on, and she's had some really good practice here. So, she, you know, definitely going to push. But you know, Hannah's has been outstanding, and Abby Thompson has really had a good camp. We got to see Abby a little bit last year, just extremely athletic. I can tell she worked really, really hard in the off season. She's in great shape, and she's competing hard. So, but Hannah's just looked like she's ready to play right almost from the start. She's really looked good.
You also have a brand new assistant coach, Sarah Bobrowski. How does she fit into?
Go ahead and say it, Kel.
She went to Hill-Murray, yes.
No.
Sorry, Biss.
won a state championship. State championship at Hill-Murray. And
woo-hoo.
Actually went to Lindenwood.
Yes.
Played 3 years at Lindenwood. Unfortunately, her sister got sick, so she came home to support her and help her. And good news, everything's worked out there. But she went to Hamlin her last year, where her dad was an assistant with Natalie Darwitz, and was an All-American and helped lead Hamlin to the Final Four in the Division III era for the first time in program history. So, but she just brings a lot of energy. She's very, very similar to Emma. In fact, those two played together over in Europe. But just a new perspective, and again, just can, you know, obviously relates really well with our group, but just brings some fresh ideas and a lot of energy. You talk about energy. She's She's going. She loves to jump into drills and get involved, and she's been a great addition.
Well, she's a people person. I remember the
very
first time
so.
I met her the first time at Britt Lauritsen's press conference, the new athletic director here at BSU, and Sarah was not hesitant to come up and introduce herself. So
no, she's just
nice
young lady. She's got has that personality that really really obviously will help recruiting wise, and again just the. To me, that relationship with the players is so important, and she's just going to, you know, fit right in there with the same thing with how Emma does it.
As last year went on, you had five freshman defensemen in your lineup. As a coach, I'm sure that your supply of antacids needed to be increased. But those five, I think, came through with flying colors. How much did their success last year ease your decision to play all three freshmen and put them on a line together for this year?
Yeah, a big part of it. You're right, Schultz. No question, some growing pains last year, and outside of the goalie, to, you know, the one position to play it in WCHA in our league to step in as a freshman would be defense, just because of who's coming at you and what we're asking them to do, and all five of them, you know, they had their moments, no question, but they, you know, they just kept getting better and better and playing with a lot more confidence. And now to have them come back 1 year, you know, 1 year later with a summer training with our program, it's been tremendous. You can just see their confidence, and really, really excited to see that the group, you know, once we get playing. And it's not just those five. Abby De La Rosa, senior out of White Bear, again, stayed here all summer, worked incredibly hard. Is in great shape and has had a really, really good camp and has looked good. So, and then Kate Bolin and Chloe Lund, our other two, all eight of them are really playing well. So it's going to help come time to put a lineup together Friday night. But again, just for those five to see them this year, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, everybody knows. I mean, you've got tough competition in by far the most difficult league in all of women's hockey. So what's the league looking like? Is it still, I mean, it doesn't seem to ever change, really, other than all the other teams, you know, like you, just keep getting better.
Because in my 9 years, I've never seen the talent level that it's going to be this year.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. I mean, all the Olympians are back, and then there's a number of players that were centralized, meaning they were gone from their college team, but with their national program, but just did not be able, were not participating in Olympics. They're all back. And then you had the fifth-year waiver.
Folks, yeah.
You know, Minnesota's top line last year were three seniors. So they're all coming back for their fifth year, which one of them is Patty Kazwin and Heisey.
Taylor Heisey.
Jeez. But they're bringing Zumwinkel back from the Olympic team, Murphy back from the Olympic team. And that's just Minnesota.
Yeah, Ohio State.
Ohio State's bringing Maltese back. Sophie Jakes is back. Mm-hmm. And then same with Wisconsin. They've got their three players that were either playing or were centralized. They're back. And they have a great freshman class. So Duluth got players from Ashton Bell was on the Canadian gold medal winning Olympic team. She's back. It's going to be a challenge. St. Cloud had some Olympians. Mankato had some players that were on the. Anna Wilgren was a centralized player but didn't play in the Olympics. She'll be back. So it's going to be a real challenge every weekend.
But what I like about BSU over the years, and this has been kind of the mantra of this team, is to be fearless. They go out there and they battle hard no matter what until the very end. Coach, what are kind of the expectations you have on your team, despite knowing how hard the league's going to be?
Yeah, well, you know, that we talked about that going into our first meeting. It's always been where we've kind of given them our expectations, and we asked them to come up with their own expectations. We asked them to come up with four, and then we'd add a fifth. And I thought they did a great job in just identifying those areas, and that was one of them. One of them was being fearless, you know, control the controllables, always giving 100%, just things that they can control. And I think that's going to be so important because that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to we know how we're going to have to play and just every game just battle as hard as we can for 60 minutes, play Beaver hockey. And we do that, and good things can happen.
Jim Scanlon, head coach of the BSU women's hockey team, with us tonight. They open up the season Friday at 6 against Lindenwood. They are the Lions. They're from St. Louis. Game 2 of that series then Saturday at 3. You can catch them both 94.3 The Legends online, BeaverRadioNetwork.com. Jim, when St. Thomas came into the WCHA, that helped your scheduling a little bit. But yet, you don't have a ton of teams to pick from close geographically. Do you foresee Lindenwood being a somewhat mainstay on your non-conference schedule?
Well, they play in CHAs, and they now that Robert Morris is back, they're up to six teams, so they have the ability to play a lot more non-conference games than some of the hockey schools and the ECAC schools, and I've found it's been really, really hard to get some of those schools to come out because they're so close in proximity to a lot of those other schools that they don't have to jump on a plane to play non-conference games. So Lindenwood's been I think they're playing just about everybody in our league one time. They're the closest non-conference school. You know, you could fly there, but we've bussed there the last two times that we've gone there. So we are going back out there next year to second year of the 2-year deal. But we'll continue to work hard trying to find different teams, just because I think it's important. I'd like to give our group the experience of playing some other schools, and if we can work something out where we can go out east. Like we're going out to Clarkson. They came out and played us here last year, so we're honoring that commitment to go out and play them. And then we're playing in a tournament in Quinnipiac, which will be kind of fun.
Well, obviously, the COVID pandemic changed things for a couple of years, but things pretty much back to normal from your perspective as far as how the games and everything stand. Everything seems like it's like it was potentially 3 years ago with no delays.
Pretty much, you know, knock on wood, cross your fingers, whatever you have
no
to do.
Kidding.
I mean, you never say never just because with the way this virus has gone. So. But the NCAA has changed changed the rules when someone does contract. It's not, a complete shutdown.
Right.
So, but, yeah, it's, hopefully it will get all 34 games in and playoff and very, very similar to what we saw in the past.
You mentioned the Thanksgiving tournament at Quinnipiac. How did that all come about?
That's a tournament. You might remember the name of it. It's one at those three schools. It was Yale, Quinnipiac, and I believe UConn would always rotate between those three schools, and then they'd add a fourth. But Yale got out of it, and now it's I think it's Sacred Heart. And so we just caught conversations with Cassie Turner, their coach, said we'd be interested in playing, and it worked out as they had a spot. So, but it's one more top 10 team we're gonna play in the year. I said we've got 19 right now in the top 15 poll. It's out. We're playing 19 games against that group. So
yeah, but part of it isn't it the experience that you get to go there. I mean, you know, you're gonna go to all these places in the WCHA every mm-hmm. year. So they'll get that experience no matter what year they're, you know, freshman mm-hmm. through senior. But at least once every 4 years, you like to try to take them mm-hmm. someplace, right?
That, absolutely, yeah.
Yep. And so that's – where is it this year?
Quinnipiac.
It's Connecticut. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never been there before.
I've
so
never either.
I heard it's a beautiful campus. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's over the Thanksgiving holiday.
And their claim to fame, much like Bemidji State, is hockey, I think, because I've certainly heard of Quinnipiac mainly because of hockey, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. Very, very strong men's program. And their women's team was they were in the national tournament last year and actually gave Ohio State a great run. I think it was a double overtime game, and Ohio State wound up winning it and, of course, went on to win the national championship.
Jim Scanlon with us tonight. The coaches huddle at the Tavern. Beavers open up their season Friday night at home against the Lindenwood Lions. Take a break, back with more of the Coach's Huddle right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
When you're ready to leave your garage like a NASCAR driver, but you can't get your garage door up.
If you can't get it up, call Gaslin. Gaslin Garage Door.
With fully stocked vehicles, they're ready for almost any situation. And that means they can get it up. Call Gaslin Garage Door, and there's a good chance one trip is all they'll need. Call Gaslin Garage Door.
Call 556-1517. Gaslin Garage Door.
For both in-warranty and out-of-warranty service on Apple products and computer repair, choose Paul Bunyan Communications, Northern Minnesota Certified Apple Service Center in Bemidji, and now open in Grand Rapids. We can help with hardware or software problems, spill damage, screen replacement, virus removal, or the accessories you need. And we're open Monday through Friday from 7:30 until 5:30. For service on your Apple product or PC repair, come to Paul Bunyan Communications, Northern Minnesota Certified Apple Service Center in Bemidji and Grand Rapids.
When you don't have time to go to lunch, let Jimmy John's deliver lunch to you. With Jimmy John's, we can get a freaky fresh sandwich to you freaky fast. Click to order at jimmyjohns.com.
At Jimmy John's, we want your sandwich to arrive freaky fast, so it's freaky fresh. So we only deliver within 5 minutes of our stores, and not farther. Click to order at jimmyjohns.com. 5 minutes is not a guaranteed delivery time. Actual delivery times will vary.
It's every day made better at Hot Spring Hot Tubs in Northern Minnesota. Isn't it time to start taking care of you and your health? Get into a saltwater spa and put your body and mind at ease with minimal chemicals and water that is much easier on you without the effects of chlorine. Or get into a sauna and sweat away the bad toxins and fight off those nasty viruses. We have plenty of options, so stop by and see us at Hot Spring Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota. Look for the big duck across from Tartan.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now, you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice-cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tavern and the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. Schultze, Biz, and Kel with you tonight. Three games this weekend here on the Beaver Radio Network. Women's hockey Friday at 6 against Lindenwood. Football travels to Upper Iowa. Oh, joy. 3 o'clock on Saturday, same time as women's hockey on Saturday.
Everybody help me convince Schultze to take the new vehicle down to Fayette.
Oh, I've already decided that.
Okay, good, good. Because I was worried. I'm like, you are not taking your 2011.
You got a new vehicle?
Well, she have. Did. Yeah.
All right.
Well, you've been in it.
Oh, I already have? Oh, yes. Here, I thought you had another new one. All right.
No longer the copper-colored car, Cal?
What's that?
You got the copper-colored car, don't you?
No longer the copper-colored car?
No, I've got the bright blue.
Wow.
Like royal blue.
Okay, COVID has been a thing for way too long. Neither of you two know this.
Yeah, I'm totally confused. I was in the car last with you, and you had the orange car, copper car.
I got to throw my beaver sticker in the window.
We went to North Dakota, didn't we?
Blue. Go get your eyes checked.
Oh, that's classic.
That's funny.
And just so you know, I've seen copper cars, and every time I'm like, oh, that might be Schultze.
I have never driven a copper-colored car.
It's orange.
Orange.
It was orange.
Okay, orange, but you don't have the orange vehicle anymore in the family.
I got rid of it.
Okay.
Traded her in. Bigger vehicle.
Getting back on track here, because this show has a tendency of just jumping the rails quite often. Jimmy, you've got a new athletic director at BSU to work with, Britt Lauritsen. You have a new commissioner in the WCHA who you happen to know a thing or two about.
Tracy
Dill. Former BSU athletic director Tracy Dill, serving as an interim commissioner of the league. What have your interactions been with those two in these two roles?
Well, first of all, we're so fortunate that Tracy is taking that role, because having somebody from our side of the tracks in the WCHA is huge, and obviously his experience is going to be tremendous for the league, and I think it was a unanimous vote by the WCHA board of directors. So just really thrilled to be able to keep him in the group and have him in our family, and obviously he's gonna do a great job for our league. So Britt's been outstanding, just really, really impressive. She's so enthusiastic. Obviously, everything is all about the student athlete, which is in her job. That's that's huge. So I think she's going to do a great job. You know, it's going to take obviously a while for her to get out and about, meet the state shareholders here in Bemidji. But as far as a coach and a program, we're just thrilled, because she's just all about student athlete.
Change can be good, can it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hated to see Tracy go when he did, but obviously he's put a lot of time in, and he's been doing this for so long. But then, you know, when he said, you know what, you're not getting rid of me yet, that was a bonus. So, I think Britt's going to do a really, really good job for all the athletic teams here at Bemidji State.
Well, as a coach, how much interaction do you have with the athletic director normally? Obviously, you've got your own team and stuff to do, but they're ultimately your boss too, right?
Yeah, it's pretty consistent. Obviously, you know, their offices are located on campus. We're at the Sanford Center, but you know, Tracy would be over at our facility at least once, sometimes twice a week, utilizing the office over there, and I've seen Britt quite a few times. Sometimes she's over there for meetings. Other times she just comes over to see what's going on. So, yeah, it's usually once a week there's some sort of interaction.
Well, you're coaching women's sports, obviously. Now Bemidji State with a female athletic director. It's the 50th year of Title IX. What does that say about women's sports and the growth of women in sport?
Oh, yeah, it's tremendous, and hopefully it'll continue. You know, it's to see more women in those leadership roles. I mean, it's long overdue, because they do outstanding jobs, and you see it in our league, the number of women coaches and the success that they've had. Hopefully it'll be a female head coach here in the near future.
It's the 50th year of Title IX, but women's hockey didn't get started 50 years ago.
Nope.
I mean, remember growing up? I mean, I remember, there was no girls' hockey, really. And then it started with that weird little ring thing.
Ringette.
Yeah, that was stupid. But when was women's hockey established? And it was a high school sport in Minnesota, probably before any place else, I would imagine. Or Yeah, one of the first places. 90s?
I think Amber Fricklin was on one of the first teams to win a state championship. As well. I want to say in 94, 95.
Okay.
Because her first year at Bemidji State was 90, I think it was 99, 2000, but she had to sit out a year because she started originally, I believe, at Mankato and then transferred to Bemidji. And Bemidji started 98, 99, and it was in the WCHA founding member in 99, 2000. So I think high school hockey was in the early to mid-90s.
So it took a while for hockey to catch up, so to speak, with Title IX.
Yeah, compared to more sports.
Yeah, but again, that's if you look, there's a lot of history. A lot of the women's sports, it took a while. But obviously, it has exploded in terms of just the overall talent, especially in the state of Minnesota.
Well, an opportunity.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, you know, as a dad of two daughters, to see that they had the same opportunities that I did, any sport you really wanted to play in, it doesn't matter your gender anymore, you could probably go play it.
Absolutely. And that's as it should be.
Hey, Iowa used to play girls basketball 6-on-6, where you couldn't cross half court. You were either a defensive player or an offensive player.
Really?
Couldn't pass half court.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So there have been a lot of interesting experiments to get to where we are today. How has that gym changed how you recruit? Because every year it seems like there's more and more teams and more talent out there. You know, at the pre-college age group.
Yeah, it's as nice as having St. Thomas join the league from a scheduling standpoint has been. They've been a bugger when it comes to recruiting because they've just done a really really good job with that metro area player. You can imagine it's a private school right downtown, beautiful campus. Even despite the fact they don't have their own a new rink yet, doesn't seem to stop players because they're getting a lot of them. So, but fortunately there's a lot of good players and you know we've certainly Northern Minnesota we've tried to do our best in that area, but we're not gonna stop at the border. If we feel there's players up north that can help us, we're gonna definitely do that. So I mean our current freshman class, we have three Canadians and one from Alaska. So I'm sorry, two from Canada, one from Alaska, one from Wisconsin.
Well, this is the most Canadians that you've had on your roster that I can remember. When was the last time you had more than five?
It might have been my first year.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's been a while.
And what other sports are strong in women's hockey nowadays? I mean, obviously Minnesota, but...
Other states, you mean?
Other states, yeah. What did I say?
Other sports.
Oh, yeah, other states.
There's players coming from all over the place. I mean, there really are. It's across the country they're playing hockey, whether it's California, Alaska, certainly out east. There's a lot of good players. You know, the central, there's good players from Iowa, a lot in the Chicago area. I mean, they're all over the United States. Absolutely.
What about internationally? I mean, we see it and you've had some international players come through BSU women's hockey as well, not this year per se other than Canada, but what's the scene?
No, there's I think Minnesota has two freshmen, one from Finland, one from Sweden. And so if they're at Minnesota, they're good players. So Ohio State's got some. Duluth has always historically had a lot of international players. So the game is gotten stronger. You just look at the world championships, whether it's a U18 or the national programs, how good those teams are, and they're just getting, you know, still Canada and U.S. are
the top two.
Top two, yeah. But those other programs are getting better and better, and those games are much more competitive.
Speaking of recruiting, you got a recruiting call here in a couple of minutes. So quickly, what should your fans be on the lookout for this weekend against Lindenwood?
Well, I hopefully you're going to see a team that's just going to come out and work extremely hard, compete, and bring a lot of energy. That's kind of been our two our things we've said, our expectations of ourselves. But, you know, compete hard on every shift and just battle. And I think you're going to see a team that can get up and down the ice. And hopefully is going to have some success in the offensive zone.
Where is your biggest concern right now?
It's going to be scoring goals, Schultz. That's kind of been where we've at for a while. Obviously, we graduated, I think, four of our top five scorers.
Ooh.
Reese Hunt was our leading scorer. She's back. But, again, we need players that have been with our program now for a while to make that step and contribute. And I think they're going to. I just You know, I see someone like Taylor Nelson, how hard she works, and she's looked tremendous. And she and Gabby Smith have been line mates for, this will be the third year there together. And I can see those two having big years. Paige Anderson's looked outstanding as a senior. So
Claire Vekic.
Claire Vekic is another one. So you bet. I think we're going to be a fun team to watch.
Best of luck this weekend, Jim.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Jim Scanlon, head coach of the BSU women's hockey team. They open up their season Friday night, 6 o'clock against Lindenwood, our Budweiser pregame show at 5:30. Take a break. Come back with more. By the way, you need to get here quickly. We have Brantley Gilbert tickets to give away next Friday at the Sanford Center. Dustin Lynch tickets November 3rd at the Sanford Center. We'll give those away.
And tavern gift cards.
We have Renaissance Festival tickets if you can get down there this weekend or next. And we've got four $25 tavern gift cards to give away to four lucky people.
Sweet.
We're giving all of that away here before 7.
All right.
Get here now, my friends. It's the Coach's Huddle at the Tavern on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Is your power tool not working right? Is your generator not starting? Does your chainsaw, blower, or pressure washer need maintenance? If you're having issues with your gas-powered tools and equipment, or just need something tuned up, let the factory-trained technicians at Acme Tools fix the problem and help you do your best work. Our friendly and efficient staff can service most makes and models of gas-powered equipment. For quality parts and service, see Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North, Bemidji.
Whether your team is champions of the universe or can't tackle their way out of a paper bag, Lakeview Liquor and First City Liquor of Bemidji have the refreshments you need to keep cheering them on. Stock up with Bemidji's largest selection of off-sale wine, liquor, and beer at Lakeview Liquor on Lake Bemidji South Shore and First City Liquor on Paul Bunyan Drive Northwest. Text CHEERS to 218-444-1037. That's CHEERS to 218-444-1037. And great deals are just a text away. First City Liquor and Lakeview Liquor of Bemidji.
This isn't your regular cola, so this isn't your regular cola ad. This is Nitro Pepsi, the first cola ever infused with nitrogen. Think an infusion of smaller bubbles for a cola that's got a lighter, smoother texture. And don't get me started on the pour. We're talking turn the can completely upside down and watch as those bubbles cascade into the glass to create a frothy, luxurious foam topping. This is cola like you've never had it before. New Nitro Pepsi. Smooth, creamy, delicious.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted each year, leading to injuries and death. They know that if someone doesn't lawfully comply or resists, force may have to be used to obtain compliance. Nobody likes it, especially police. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer. Don't argue, resist, or flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. Learn more at nationalpolice.org.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
And mercy. Welcome back to the Tavern and the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. Thanks to Beaver head women's hockey coach Jim Scanlon for joining us tonight. Literally had a recruiting call.
Always working.
To the point of ready to say yes.
Well, and said, do you mind?
I
think your job comes first. The radio show can, we'll talk to you later.
Yes. It does seem awfully early calendar-wise, but again, they've been in school for a month. They're into a routine.
And they usually start pretty early. And I know as a player, I hated practicing. So, I mean, you know, yeah, you're beating your friends up, your teammates up for a while. And it's hard to have that fire, obviously, when, you know, they're your teammates. I was always a big fan of playing games way more than practice. So I'm sure they're ready to go.
On the men's side, it's gotten better over the years, but I can remember your first official day of practice was on a Thursday, and you were playing on
Sunday.
Yeah.
An exhibition game, usually, against a Canadian team. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it has gotten better, thankfully. I mean, that didn't make a whole lot of sense from a try-to-prevent-injury perspective. You should be practicing for a few weeks at that high level.
Well, the NCAA has allowed more and more practice time. It's to be used for skill development only, and you get like an hour a week.
Right.
So like the basketball teams have been practicing since they came back to school.
Right.
Late August.
Well, they might as well, right?
The guys in the team, I shouldn't just say guys, women too, they're going to be in the gym shooting anyway.
Right.
Might as well get a coach in there and try to develop some skill out of it.
Well, and they had a lot of captains' practices potentially, right, where the captains could arrange a game. There's nothing to be said that you can't get your teammates together and play.
You do want to guard against that if you're a coach of overuse and injuries in September when your season doesn't start until the end of November.
But if you play a sport, aren't you playing it? I mean, like, you know, hoops especially. I mean, you can go play, shoot hoops anytime, anywhere, by yourself even if you want. So, I mean, if you're, I think at that level, you're probably trying to keep playing if there is no practices organized. So I think it helps that there is organized practices for everybody. You want to make it an even playing field, but I think that, and yeah, you're on campus already. The coaches are here. I mean, you might as well have something, but yeah, you don't want, I mean, burnout is always a fear, no matter when you're playing or what age you're playing at. So from the college perspective, obviously you're going to want to balance it and not cause any burnout if you can, but you know, people at that level are pretty passionate about playing the game.
If they're not,
they probably shouldn't be here. Yeah, they're probably not going to last long.
So women's hockey gets out of the gates Friday and Saturday. They then go on the road next week. The men don't start until the 7th and 8th. They host Arizona State. Yesterday was the first hockey media day in person in 2 years.
Crazy.
Didn't have to be on Zoom.
Could actually be in the same room together?
Yes. It was refreshing.
The good old days are back a little bit. And?
I don't miss Zoom, I'll be honest with you. And then my iPad yesterday wigged out. I'm like, well, it hasn't been used in 2 years. Not to shoot video anyway.
Well, with the men's program, I think the big question mark is just like Scanny.
Who's going to score goals?
Yeah, because they lost all that scoring. Record-setting scoring is all gone. And so that's, I think, the big question, obviously, for the men's program as well, is who's going to score the goals. Good news in hockey, though, is if you can prevent the goals, you're always going to have a chance to win.
You can still win 1-0.
Yes. May not be very exciting sometimes, but if a win is a win,
if you have to, care how you get it.
You can be more defensive if you have to be.
True. Gal, you obviously went to Lindenwood last Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Do they have a bunch of players back?
I recognize some of the names. Let's see here. I haven't really looked at their stats, but I do recognize the name of Tegan Heeslip. Gigi Pora, she's a senior out of Ontario. Natalie Ferenc was their goaltender last year. Let's see.
So the Beavers won 4-1 and then
4-3
in overtime?
Yep. They've got a couple of international players as well. You know, we were talking about that earlier. They've got one from the Czech Republic, another one from Norway, and another from Japan.
Hmm.
And, yeah, they should be fairly good. I mean,
like everyone.
They put up a good fight last year. So, and a couple years ago, actually, they came into the Sanford Center and got a 3-goal lead, I want to say. They were up 4-0, and the Beavers lost that first game. So anything can happen.
So first game is Friday night at 6, and then Saturday at 3?
Yes. I am excited, actually, because the weather's changing, and it really feels like fall now. So
definitely today is the first fall-like day we've had.
And then we turn around and we go to upstate New York next week. All the way to Potsdam, New York, to play Clarkson. That'll be a great battle. So we leave like bright and early Thursday morning and hit the road.
I don't miss those days flying into upstate New York.
Yeah, I think we fly.
Niagara, right? Was it your
Syracuse?
We flew into Buffalo.
I think we fly into Syracuse, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, should be a great. I'm looking forward to the season. I know Coach was talking about some of those players returning that we're looking
Hey, it's for. Fun for the players to play against those Olympians and
absolutely
national team players.
And it's fun
for the
fans
to watch. It's fun for you to announce.
Oh, absolutely.
And because a good play is a good play, regardless of who makes it.
You know, looking top to bottom on this Bemidji State team, I know Coach was saying how they're looking for somebody to do some scoring. I think they've got a lot of talent here and a lot of players that could do that scoring. They just need to shoot the puck and have some confidence.
Pick preseason 6 out of 8 in the WCHA. Pick to finish 6th. Which wouldn't be, I mean, unusual, given the, I mean, the top three just are usually the same, right?
Hearing that that top line from Minnesota is back intact is
yeah.
just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Yes.
That top line had 200 and some points last year.
Yes. Well, and Ohio State is as dangerous as ever.
Right.
Last year, they made it how far, and they were without
Emma Malte. Well, they won it all.
Yeah, Emma Malte was one of their best players 2 years ago, and then she was centralized last year, so...
Yeah, they won it all and are getting people back.
Yep. So it's going to be...
Generally, Biss, I do not ask you to do math. 3 players at 200-ish points.
That's over 600 points then.
No.
No, divided.
Oh, collectively. Oh.
That's still 70 points a player.
Yeah, per a season. In one season.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty phenomenal. In any sport. In any hockey, in any division of hockey, anywhere you are.
It is mind-boggling.
It is.
We will take a break. While we are taking a break, we are giving away Brantley Gilbert tickets and Dustin Lynch tickets.
So that's for country music fans.
Yes.
The Sanford Center is going to be busy. I think they got a Ruby's Pantry thing going on today.
Is that what that is?
I think so. Tomorrow, Disney Junior Costume Palooza. Women's hockey Friday, Saturday. There is Brantley Gilbert next Friday. The following Tuesday, October 4th, Ceratori Spaghetti Dinner.
That's
the
right.
Next day, our job fair. Then 2 days later, Beaver Men's Hockey. And then a month from that, Dustin Lynch. 2 big-time country acts coming here in a month.
I love it. Bring them.
I'm not a country music fan, so I didn't even know who they were. I had to ask.
I'm not surprised.
I'm like, are those country people?
See, I was really bummed that we were on the road next weekend, but Dustin Lynch will make up for it.
Awesome. It'll be great for country music fans, no doubt.
We are giving away those tickets, and we will come back and talk Beaver football. A homecoming win and a jump in the lake next. It's the Coach's Huddle from the Tavern right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
It's never too early to consider your goals and refine your vision for retirement. I'm Alan Zutz, a financial advisor with Thrivent, and we're here to help you create a strategy that reflects your priorities. We can help you assess your needs and determine the next steps for your unique situation. Call Alan, Sandra, or Rice at 218-444-0202 to get started. That's Alan Zutz, Thrivent Financial, 218-444-0202.
The key to success is a solid game plan and commitment to the fundamentals. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University men's and women's athletics for teamwork and dedication throughout the season and wishes you the best as you take it to the next level. Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
Hi, Dan the GM man.
And Sam the Chevy man.
We are here to let you know that Donlinger Chevrolet Buick GMC in Bemidji has been awarded Business of the Year by the Bemidji Chamber.
Also, we have received the Director's Choice Award from the Bemidji United Way.
We would like to thank all of our loyal customers and partners who support us and our community. Remember, Donlinger Chevrolet Buick GMC in Bemidji for all your automotive needs.
Chevy, find new roads.
Donlinger Chevrolet Buick.
Before or after this week's BSU Beavers game, get your fill of pizza, pasta, beer, and wings at the Green Mill Restaurant in Bemidji. Or if you'd rather order takeout or delivery, take advantage of the Green Mill's awesome takeout and delivery specials, such as Friday and Saturday's Family Meal Deal, or Sunday's large one-topping deep-dish pizza for $14.99. Look for menu details online at greenmill.com and call 218-444-1875 to order your very own Green Mill delivery of the game. Pizza, pasta, beer, and wings. We'll see you at the mill.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Well, did we just make some people happy? Dustin Lynch tickets. The woman who won those is great. I already bought my Brantley Gilbert tickets. You have more tavern gift cards to give away and Renaissance Festival tickets to give away as well. So
stay here.
Yes. Biss, you and I witnessed a homecoming win last week. Two things. If you run the ball 50 times and have over 500 yards of offense, you better win that game.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. They made some mistakes. They gave the Winona State Warriors too many chances, but it made it too interesting because the Beavers were by far the better team, but that's been a recurring theme here. They lost their first two games by a total of, 4 points?
Yes.
And were the better team, certainly, against Mankato. They should have won that football game, and easily, not lost it like they did. And you were in Sioux Falls. I don't know whether they were the better team, but they certainly had their turnovers.
For stretches, no, but then the offense just clicked and clicked, and you blink your eyes, and they're going for two to win it.
And then again, of course, this past weekend in homecoming, they dominated and were down 7-0. The other team hadn't even had a first down, and they were losing 7-0 because of a pick six. So, I mean, you got to give Bemidji State credit that, obviously they were able to weather that storm and come back. They're a solid football team, but you can't make the mistakes they did against good teams and expect to win, and that's why Mankato and Sioux Falls made them pay. But they're good enough to run the table. I mean, they could win the eight remaining games here. Or seven, I guess.
All three pick sixes have been a similar route. Shallow, outside the numbers, where if it's picked off, there's no chance of getting a tackle.
Right.
It's going to be 6 points. All three of them.
Well, and that's Brandon Ault, who knows. I mean, that's just the play call. It's a timing thing, but you got to know whether you can throw it or not. And it's a very dangerous pass. I mean, Viking fans can remember, who are old enough. I mean, it's that same kind of pass that was the Super Bowl against Oakland that was returned for a touchdown, where it's on the sideline, it's an out. If the receiver isn't going to catch the ball, the defender gets an interception, he's gone. I mean, there's nobody going to stop him. And so that's a pretty dangerous throw, and you got to know that it's safe to make it, or else it's going to cost you normally.
With Brandon Alton, I had a rather lengthy chat with Coach Bolte for our pregame on Saturday. May have to start pregame show at like noon to fit that whole interview in because we were very long-winded. But I asked him, I said, do you break down film to that extent of, okay, all three of these passes are similar. Is there something going on with protection? Is there something going on that Ault isn't seeing it? Or is it something the receiver is doing incorrectly where Ault and the receiver aren't on the same page? And kind of went into a deep dive into how they break down film and what they do, with certain situations that come up that just seem to be a thorn in their side and try to fix it. Easier said than done.
Do they do that, though? I mean, I would think turnovers and particularly interceptions, I mean, if there's a common theme, you'd be able to figure it out pretty quick.
Listen to the pregame on Saturday.
There you go.
But it's called a tease for a reason.
A good victory, and again, they have a team that's very capable of running the table. They just can't afford to let their opponents into games like they have the first three games.
Upper Iowa is a team on paper And I'll say this. I'm not going to ask Coach Bolte or any of the players, but I'll say it. On paper, BSU should win by 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Right.
But Upper Iowa has been in games. Now, last week in Duluth, it was a fog game. I asked Coach Bolte, could you even see anything on film? Was it worthwhile of watching? He goes, no.
Ooh.
There was that much fog.
Wow.
In Duluth last week.
What was the final?
Don't ask me to remember
Duluth
something.
Duluth clearly won, I'm guessing.
Yes. But Upper Iowa is a team that...
Beavers have lost to Upper Iowa.
The last two times they've gone to Fayette, they've lost.
Yeah, well, that should be point enough this week, you know? I mean, from a team perspective, I'm guessing they've brought that up. And look, I mean, you can look at them on paper and say they lost to Duluth last week by whatever.
Lost 30-0 to Northern. Lost 24-21 to Moorhead. Lost 28-6 at Duluth.
That's not bad against a Duluth team in that kind of atmosphere, considering.
They have scored 27 points all year. That's 9 a game.
That's good news for Bemidji State, whose defense is pretty good, and their offense scores way more than that.
Rushing per game.
In a quarter.
39.7.
Oof.
For Upper Iowa.
Really?
39.7.
Oh, my gosh. That's even worse than...
Their opponents are rushing for 173 a game. Passing yards per game. Upper Iowa, 170. Their opponents, 195.
Well, they don't stand a chance if the team plays like normal.
Like I said, on paper.
Right. Well, again...
Game not played on paper.
Pick six, turnovers... Mental mistakes, it doesn't take much at this level.
You have to play to win the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you got to play it on paper or whatever.
Some of those statistics are like, what?
Yeah.
You run for 40 yards a game?
It's old home week for Coach Bolte, though. That's his stomping ground, so he's got even more incentive for his team to do well. And then I'm sure he's not been too pleased that the last two times they've lost there. So
the one time that I rode with the team to Fayette, Coach Tesh was still here. Coach Medbury was on the staff. He's been with the Lumberjacks now for a number of years. Both from Iowa. Bolte's from Iowa. They had set up a hog roast.
I was going to say a pig feed probably, right? Yeah.
Let's just say that there were more than a handful of BSU players at that time from bigger cities that had never heard of a pig roast.
Really? I suppose. I mean,
so they literally see this pig over an open fire. And they're like, what in the world have we gotten ourselves into? They had used like some town hall way back in the sticks. A little narrow gravel driveway.
Wow.
Try getting two buses down there.
Hope nobody's coming the other way.
And it was some dang fine barbecue.
Well, of course. Yeah.
I'm like, this is the kind of life stuff that is what's great about college athletics.
Well, and they get exposed to different things, including that pig feed. Where,
man, if you're from downtown Chicago,
so that's the one,
you don't have a pig roast.
But they put it above the ground, and it's because, I mean, I've seen them in the ground where they bury them overnight. And
I don't recall how this was actually cooked.
All right. Because there's a couple of different ways you can do it.
I just ate it.
And it's always delicious if done correctly.
Oh, I remember Coach Bowen, when he was here with men's basketball, he and Richie Honor had, I forget what they called that thing. Pigapalooza,
yeah.
Where they did a hog roast.
Mm.
And they had built this contraption over cinder blocks and had some chain link fence that they literally put a chain link fence on the bottom, put the pig on top of that, put another chain link fence and wrapped the whole thing together, and they put the whole fence over the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And the head fell out of the chain link fence.
I remember that.
Into the fire, and it caught the pig on fire. That was delicious pig.
That's hilarious.
Just don't eat the skin. It was a little charred.
I love it.
The head just flopped off into the...
You know, and that's a big part of college sports is those kinds of experiences, yes. though. I mean, we talked about you going to Clarkson, and, yeah. you know, there's so many Beaver hockey memories you have traveling to all the different places that you've traveled. That's a big part of what it's the experience. I mean, playing the games, yeah. Obviously, that's what they're here to do is play the games. But, you know, for them in personal growth and just having, that college experience, that's something you'll take away for the rest of your life. Right?
I literally feel bad for anyone who doesn't know what a pig roast is all about.
Well, that is pretty. But I was a city boy. I can't say there was any pig roast in Fridley.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I until I got up here, and then I figured out a lot of stuff about country living versus city living. I'm still a little bit more of a city boy, as you know.
I'll take country living over city living any day.
Well, that's why I lived here for 40 years. But, again, that's the cool part about athletics. It's a little more difficult when you got 100 people on your team versus 30, to try to give them that experience. But pig roast's a good way to do it for a football team. But will one pig be enough?
No, it was two.
Yeah, I was going to say. There's a lot of...
A lot of sides with that.
A lot of mouths to feed there.
I can't believe I'm going to ask another math question of you, Biss.
Oh, that is.
Oh,
you
boy.
Said you've lived here for 40 years.
You've been here since
I have
you
not
were 10.
Been 40 years. That is exaggeration. It has been.
I was going to say, you are not 60.
36. Oof. I came here to college when I graduated from high school. And while I did
year old
leave,
or an 18 year old?
18 year old, and I lived. And I did live for a year outside of Bemidji after I graduated, before I came back and had my first real job here.
Nobody wants to live in Alexandria.
No, and that was incentive. No offense. I mean, for a young kid, I think it'd be a great place to live now for me as an older person. But as a 21-year-old, there wasn't a lot of people my age living in Alexandria.
No. So Beaver football heads to Fayette. Oh, joy. Just not a real good way to get from Bemidji to Fayette, to be honest with you.
Oh, and 35W and then across. You said you're going through Rochester?
Well, I'm reffing in football in Crosby
on
Friday.
Oh, that makes a little bit more sense then.
So I'm going to go to the cities and then head south to Rochester because I don't want to. There isn't much on 35
to
in southern
at,
Minnesota
right.
to.
Owatonna. Yeah. But then you might as well go to Fayette probably.
No, I don't want
to
do
How far is Fayette from Rochester then?
2 hours.
Okay, that's not too bad. So then it's 7 hours away from here?
Yes.
Brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And does the football team, they stay over on Friday and come back after the game on Saturday?
Yes.
So it's an all-night bus ride.
Good thing is for me that I, after reffing Friday night and driving till 1.
Well, you've got relatives down there too, don't you? Not
further than that. Yeah. Further than Rochester.
Hmm.
So I get to sleep in an extra 2 hours because it's a 3 o'clock kickoff.
True.
Bad thing. 7 hours home. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff.
Oh, you won't be back till 3 a.m. then. 4.
Hoping to get out of there by 7:30. Hoping.
Yeah.
Maybe the Beavers on paper will do the same on the field.
Well, there is no running time like in high school.
Oh, that's true.
Good point.
Just keep.
Tell them to run the ball 50 times.
Keep the clock running.
Yeah, the clock will. Well, I was going to help you out. You can already tell that by their statistics.
So, Kel, you were up close and personal with the team as they jumped in the lake.
That was awesome.
There's nothing like it.
No, there isn't. The faces, the smiles, the cheering, the yelling and screaming as they're running through the crowd of, actually, I've never seen this before, the fans coming down off of the stands. There's two gates they had to get through, the one around the football field and then the one that goes out to the lake. And the one by the football field is literally, it's a gate like you would see in a regular normal fence around a person's house. And there were parents with their chairs and stuff coming through. I'm like, you guys are going to have to move because you got players coming here and they're going to just run you over. And one lady's face, she turns around, she sees all these players coming at her. She's like, oh! But it was great seeing the players get out there. And of course the cheerleaders had a tunnel as they were going through. And Britt Lauritsen, our AD, and the president of the university, Dr. John Hoffman. Both of them jumped in the lake. It was awesome. Dr. Hoffman's wife also, Joy, she jumped in as well. Jody's got some great pictures on her iconic images photography from the Beaver Radio Network perspective. And it was awesome to see them do that. And
the rain held. I mean, it poured about 45 minutes after that.
Yeah, the sky got dark. About the
severe thunderstorm warnings. Well, I got done and was driving home going, uh-oh, that don't look good. And that looks like it's going to be here soon. And it was. So got lucky with the weather. Beautiful day.
Oh,
and I think the football team will be lobbying for homecoming in early September going forward.
Every year.
Because it was a refreshing dip in the lake versus most of the time we recall.
It is frozen.
I mean, it is horrible. It's not a reward. It is for them, of course. But
I actually heard that the water was warm when they jumped in. So, it wasn't nearly as refreshing.
Refreshing as they hoped it would be. Yeah.
Maybe that's why they weren't in there very long this year.
Yeah, could be.
We were through our first break, and there were players coming back.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty warm. I don't want to say swimmer's itch, but
true.
Jump in, jump out quick, go shower.
True.
Later in the season, you don't have to worry about that.
Our post-game player interview on Saturday was with Ty Cobb.
Which is the best name in football, right?
That is, yeah. He should be playing baseball.
Yeah.
If that interview does not dispel the myth of dumb linemen. It's an incredibly informative, intellectual interview.
Yeah.
Breaking down how the running backs are delaying slightly and allowing that line to open up some holes, and they open up some big ones.
Well, that's why he was on the show. I mean, right? That's why he was our player of the game. They opened up so many holes, it was obvious. They're running to the right side a lot. Right behind Ty Cobb. And then the defense started to figure out a little bit, and that opened it up on the other side. So, but you could tell, and you even pointed it out early, they are having success running to the right a lot. And anytime, obviously, you're running the ball 50 times, you've got a pretty decent offensive line, or you wouldn't be running the ball 50 times.
Well, I watched it from the end zones with Jody in the second half. She was taking the pictures. I was kind of hanging with her, and you could see those blockers, and you could just see it was like the Red Sea parting. I mean, the running backs had all the room to move through those holes that that offensive line let.
And he was very diplomatic when I asked him what he preferred, pass blocking or run blocking. I think he was pretty much noncommittal.
It was whatever gets us in the end zone.
Yeah, it's like, okay. I mean, I'm sure everybody has their favorite, but you're going to do whatever the coach calls.
As a general rule, best they prefer to run block.
I would think, yeah, because then they're in charge, right?
Well, they're delivering the blow.
Yes, they're moving forward and pushing versus backpedaling and
moving the pile,
holding them off, so to speak,
inflicting their will on the defense.
Although they did a heck of a job protecting Ault because he had all day to throw the football, which is, I mean, good luck. They aren't going to lose many games if he has all day to throw the football. That's for sure. He is. He's one of the best, and you need that protection, but they're super young. And, they've been a surprise. I think that was the biggest question mark.
Ty Cobb is a junior. The rest are freshmen and sophomores.
Sophomores, wow. Yeah.
They don't have a single senior on their offensive line.
And if you follow football, it all goes through the offensive line. I mean, you're not going to be a good football team if you don't have a decent offensive line.
Well, you take away that first series with the pick six, and the rest of the game, nothing really went wrong for the offense.
Let's hope that continues on Saturday in Fayette.
Well, they fumbled, they had a pick six, and they had a field goal go off the upright in the first four possessions, and then they turned it all around. But
that first quarter was not pretty.
I have never seen in an entire year the number of solid hit dead center on the upright as what we've had in these first 3 weeks.
Well, and there was two on Saturday, one for each team. Right off the upright and back out. It didn't go in. The Bemidji kicking game is a big concern, though. Again, you're not going to be at the top of the league if you can't kick an extra point. So they got to get that resolved. They need more consistent kicking because, I can recall, and Brian, you were not here, but a lot of their problems in the 90s was kicking. I mean, they had an okay team, but if you don't have kicking, you're not going to win. I mean, you're... It just isn't going to happen. And then, of course, we've been spoiled. I mean, really, that the cooking has been so good all these years. You take it for granted. And that's an area, I'm sure, of concern, and hopefully they can get that resolved.
I'd be all right with them scoring 8 touchdowns and no extra points.
They're probably going to win anyway. Yeah, that's about the only – I mean, you know, again, but against the really good teams, you got to make the extra points. They wouldn't have been going for 2 against Sioux Falls if kicking wasn't a problem. They would have won that game outright.
Yeah.
Would have won against Mankato.
That too.
Budweiser pregame show for football from beautiful Fayette, Iowa. My sarcasm meter working?
Yep.
2:30. Kickoff at 3 o'clock. 3 games this weekend in the Beaver Radio Network, 2 women's hockey and a football.
Yes.
Game on.
Game on.
His volleyball team is also at home this weekend.
Yes.
Soccer goes on the road. I just have a bad feeling about losing to CSP on Sunday for the soccer team.
I think it's going to help them rebound.
Well, I hope it doesn't have
national
end-of-year implications. Something tells me it's going to.
Well, I mean, you can't win them all, right? It's their first loss at home since 2016. Isn't that what I read? I mean, unbelievable. I mean, when you think about it. So, I mean, yeah, you can win them all, and they have won them all, 2 years in a row?
Well, COVID year, nothing counted.
They went out. They win the NSIC tournament instead of just the regular season. Anything's possible.
I'm just saying I hope it doesn't come back to haunt.
Well, obviously you want to win them all, but they did not. And it's early in the year, so they can use it as motivation, right?
Absolutely. Motivation. Go Beavers.
3 games this weekend. Women's hockey Friday and Saturday against Lindenwood. Football against Upper Iowa and the Peacocks. You can listen in online as well anywhere in the world, BeaverRadioNetwork.com. We are back next Wednesday night at 6. It's the Coach's Huddle from the Tavern right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
Go Beavers!
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck, Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station.